It is with great shevach and hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are beginning a brand new Masecht in the Daf Yomi series. We are beginning the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Beis. And I would like to point out that there are a number of very useful svarim that a person can obtain to help with the understanding of the Masechta. Masechta's Erevin requires a clear understanding of many different halachic concepts, but sometimes it's just difficult to actually visualize what the scenarios that we are going to be talking about are actually discussing. And there is a beautiful, modern, color-illustrated Gemara that is called the Mahaduras Ner Tomid. It's put out by the Me'oros Halacha, and it is put out by the Me'oros Hadaf Yomi, and there are color pictures in the back of this Masechta. The front of the Masechta is a perfectly normal Gemara. In the back, they have these color photos. I highly recommend it. It is a wonderful resource. And then there is the classical resource, which is actually much more detailed, but it is diagrammatic. And I find it actually even more useful, and that's the Perush Chai on Maseches Erevin. The Perush Chai has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of detailed pictures, and is put together by a great Rav Chaim Prosh, and Mirtz Hashem is an extremely useful sefer for people to have and to follow along. I will constantly be mentioning pictures in these svarim that person can look at to help them understand this wonderful Masechta. And we begin with the very first words on the very first daf beis, with the Mishnah. And the Mishnah begins and tells us a mavui. A mavui is an alleyway. We're going to be using this term tremendously often in the Masechta. And a mavui can be a through-and-through alleyway that goes from one Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaRabim, and it's open at both ends. And that type of a mavui is known as a mavui mefulash. And then you have a mavui sosum, a mavui that is enclosed on three sides. So it's an alleyway that has like a closure at one end. There's a wall there, or it can't get through on one end, but the other end opens up into Rishus HaRabim. Now, this mavui in halacha is a Rishus HaYochid. However, the rabbis were very concerned that if a person is allowed to carry it, go about with the normal dinum d'oraisa in this Rishus HaYochid technically, so then he's very easily going to come to carry into the Rishus HaRabim that is right nearby. And therefore, they required certain additional changes be made to make it recognizable when you're leaving the Mavui and going into Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, it is only allowed to carry in this area when you make an Erev Chatzeros or a Shituf Mavoyos, which we'll learn about in the Masechta. That's what we would call an Erev. So you need to have it physically enclosed as well as have the halachic parameters all accomplished to allow you to carry within an area. It's not enough that it's enclosed, but if it's owned by multiple people or it's used by multiple people, then you also have to have meals set aside and make what we call an Erev Chatzeros and or a Shituf Mavoyos. And in addition, in this Mavui, you also need to have either a Korah, which is a beam lying horizontally at the exit of the Mavui, or you have to have a vertical post called the Lechi. And we'll learn more about those in the Masechta as well. So we start off the Mishnah telling us that this Mavui that is going to have its beam more than 20 amos above the ground, Shugavoa, now the Bach deletes the word Lamala, so it says that this Mavui is more than the Esrim Amma from the ground up, so this is not going to be a kosher Korah, a kosher beam on the top of this Mavui, and you have to lower it. You might. If you don't lower it, you're not allowed to go and carry because of the rabbinical concerns that I outlined a moment ago. So therefore, in order to make this Mavui, the Korah that goes across the Mavui, be an acceptable beam across the Mavui, and you can see diagrams of this in the Pirush Chai, as well as in the Illustrated Gemara, to see what I'm talking about. So in this situation, a person would have to lower the Korah within the 20 Amma, and the Gemara will discuss exactly how much into it has to be. If it's half in, half out, the Gemara will discuss all of this. And we'll find similar discussion by Sukkah, and our Gemara will actually discuss that in a moment as well. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama, the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's perfectly acceptable if you have a Korah to have it even higher than 20 Amma. The Gemara will explain exactly what this Machlokus is about. Then it tells us the width over here. Until now we're talking about the height of the beam. The harachav, the opening of this mavui, if it's more than 10 amos, the Tanakhama says you can't correct it with a lechi or a korah, but you have to go and minimize this space. The harachav, the width, if it's more than 10 amos, you might. You must decrease the width. So you have to put in some sort of a fence or a wall or something to diminish that from being more than 10 amos to being less than 10 amos. The 10 amos number is a very important factor in many dinim of Erevin, which we'll learn about as we go through the Masechta. Again, it's very hard with the Mishnah without having the background for, we'll have at the end of the Masechta, some of these terms are new to people and some of them are a little bit difficult to understand until you get familiar with them. We'll have plenty of opportunity to get familiar with all of these terms as we do the Masechta. So when the width of this mavui is more than 10 amos, the koro lechi will not work, so you have to make the width smaller. How do you make a width smaller? So you can put in boards or posts or a fence or something to minimize. Let's say it started off with 15 amos, so you put in a fence for 5 amos, and now you have 10 amos, then the koro or the lechi will work. Again, that's the opinion of the Chachamim. Now here we do not have Rabbi Yehuda disagreeing in our Mishnah, but we'll see in the Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with this as well. Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, it can be wider than 10 amos. And the Gemara will explain what the machlokus is between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. Then the Mishnah concludes and says, Im yesh lo tzuras ha-pesach, if there is a tzuras ha-pesach. A tzuras ha-pesach is basically a vertical post on one side, a vertical post on the other side, and some sort of a string or a board connecting the two vertical posts. This is what we would call a doorway, a full-fledged doorway with the right side, left side, and the top post. And this is going to work much better than a lechi or a korah would, and if you have meishal tzuras ha-pesach, so then ava bishu rachav me'ar eser amos, even if it's much wider than 10 amos, even the chachamim say ein tzorach l'mayit, then you don't have to minimize it. A tzuras ha-pesach, which is what we have when people see an erev in the street, and they see a vertical post with a string attached to it, and then that string goes to another vertical post, that could be more than 10 amos away. Again, an amos is about a foot and a half to 2 feet, so it's somewhere, 10 amos is somewhere between 15 and 20 feet, so you could have these vertical posts much more than 20 feet away. They could be 50 feet away, 100 feet away, and that's perfectly good. This Tzuras HaPesach works much better than a Lechi alone or a Korah alone does, and even the Chachamim say that if you have a Tzuras HaPesach, then you don't have any concerns about a 10-foot wide opening. It can be even more than that. That's the Mishnah. I know there are a lot of things that aren't clear yet. Yetzer Hashem will clear them all up as we go through this Masechta. The Gemara starts off and says, Tanan Hasam. We learned in a Mishnah in Sukkah. Now, Tosus points out why we specifically start off by telling us the dinim of the Mavui has to be less than 20 amos for the Korah. Why didn't he tell us first about the Korah, that you require a Korah? So the Gemara will tell us that later on. But Tosus explains in the top Tosus that says the reason why it starts off right with this language, Mavui Shugavah Meyesumama, is because this Mishnah in Sukkah starts off the same way. And it says, Tanan Hasim, it starts off in Sukkah, where it says, Sukkah Shigavah Lamala Meyesumama. If a Sukkah is more than 20 amah tall, in other words, the Schach is more than 20 amahs from the floor of the Sukkah, Psula, it's also not a good Sukkah. However, there also, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, Rabbi Yehuda says that it is a good sukkah. So what's going on? So the Gemara says, Maishno gabi sukkah d'tonim psula. The first question the Gemara asked is, this is a parallel machlokas. The one in sukkah has the Tanakhama saying, you must lower it in order to make it good, but he uses the term psula. It's no good. He doesn't say you should lower it. He just says it's psula. And Rabbi Yehuda says it's okay. He's machshir it. And over here, we have in our Gemara in Erevin, the Mishnah says that you might. It doesn't say it's psula, it just says you might go and lower it. And Yehuda says you don't even have to do that. Eino tzarach. So they're both telling us the same dinim. The Tanakham in both situations says it's no good, but Rabbi Yehuda says it is good. And in each situation, we use different terminology. Here in Erevin, we say that you should correct it. And in Sukkah, we just say it's no good. It's pasul. It's osur. So why don't they use the same terminology? That's the Gemara's question. Maishno gabi sukkah d'tonei psulo, d'gabi mavi toni tekanto. In regards to sukkah, it just says no good. And in regards to the mavi, it tells us the corrective action that one has to take. Well, that same corrective action works in regards to sukkah. And if you don't take the same corrective action in the mavi here, it's also psula. So why the different terminologies? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara answers, sukkah d'araisa, sukkah, which is a din d'araisa, everybody knows that it tells us in the Torah that we have to sit in the sukkah on sukkahs. So that's an absolute beferish din in the Torah. So therefore, it tells us tani psula. It says if you don't lower the schach, it's absolutely no good. As opposed to mavi, which is a din derabanan. Now, if you didn't have the korah there, midaraisa, you're allowed to carry. It's not a problem of carrying. It's only midarabanan. And therefore, tani tekanta. So here, It doesn't want to say it's psula because it technically isn't really pasul. It's a rabbinical decree. So you're right. The word pasul is right. Psula is right. But therefore, here it tells us the corrective action that you should take because it would prefer to do that as opposed to by sukkah. It has to tell us, no, it's psula. It's not a good sukkah if you don't take the corrective action. So that's a semantic type of teretz that the Gemara gives as teretz number one. If you buy same teretz number two, doraisa nami toni tekanta. No. It could also tell us the takana by the deraisa. There would have been nothing wrong. Except by a sukkah, there wasn't just one problem. By a sukkah, there are multiple problems. Ella, in regards to a sukkah, the nefishin mile, there are many possible problems that there were. Rashi brings down the nefishin mile, the tani hosim. It says over there, what about if it only has two walls? Vishen lo shalush tefanos. It doesn't have three walls. Or vishen ogvo asar. It's not 10 tefachim tall. Or vishichamosim rubin silasa. Or there's more sunlight than there is shade. So, in other words, all of these are also reasons why it's possible in regards to the sukkah. So, for us to give us a teretz, they had to correct it. He'd have to start giving a homogillah. He'd have to go and start giving us multiple things. So, in regards to the sukkah, the nefishin milei, it's much easier. Possible with tani psula, just to give us one answer, it's no good. Okay, there are many ways to correct it. Go learn the masechta and sukkah, how to correct each of the individual problems. But in regards to the mavui, there's a korah that's too high. All you have to do is lower it. So Mavi Dilo Nefishe Mile, there's not a lot of things to do. It's just lower the beam. So then, Tani Tekante, it gave us, you might, it gave us the answer, rather than saying that it's no good, because there's one simple answer. So give us the corrective action, as opposed to by Sukkah, there's too many corrective actions that you could possibly have to do. That's Teretz number two. Now the Gemara continues and says, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Yehuda is the name of Rav, Chachamim lo lemadua ele mipisul shel heichol. The rabbis learned out their din from the Pesach of the heichol, of the Beis HaMikdash's main structure, and likewise Rav Yehuda lo lamda ele mipisul shel ulam. And Rav Yehuda, he learned it out, not from the heichol, but he learned it out from the Pesach of the ulam. Now we just have to give a little background over here as well. The Mishmayis and Tamid and Midos, they tell us the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash of the Heichal itself. The Heichal itself was the building for which the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodash went. But there was an antechamber known as the Ulam. Now, the Ulam was, the Mishnayis used the expression like a lion crouching. It was wider in the front. And the Ulam was 100 Amah wide, and the Heichal was only 70 Amah wide. And therefore, there was 15 amas sticking out to the left and 15 amas sticking out to the right as you enter into the heichal from the ulam. So the ulam was bigger, wider, and it narrowed as you went into the heichal. So therefore, the openings as well were larger. The entranceways into the ulam were larger than the entranceways into the heichal. And the dimensions of these gates or entranceways were 20 in height via 10 in width for the heichal, and double that, 40 in height and 20 amos in width for the entranceway into the ulam. Now, the Gemara is telling us here that each opinion, the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda, they got the shittas as to whether 20 amos is fine for the mavoi or for the sukkah. They both learned it out from these dinim of the entranceways into the heichal or the ulam. What is that exactly? The Gemara says that not. We learn in Mishnah and Midos, as I mentioned, pischo shel heichal, the opening, the entranceway into the heichal, was gavu esrim amah, v'rochu esrim amah, so it was 20 amas tall and 10 amas wide. The shel ulam was double that. Gavu arboim amah, v'rochu esrim amah, was 40 amah tall and 20 amah wide. And each of them learned it to a different one. Both the Chachamim and the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda are based upon a pasuk saying that we have to compare this to the entranceway into the Beis HaMikdash. And the question will be, did they mean the entranceway into the antechamber, the ulam of the Beis HaMikdash, or did it mean into the heichal itself, the house proper? What is that? The pasuk tells us, when you have to go and make certain sacrifices, they have to be shechted, the slaughtering has to be done in front of Pesach Ohel Moed. It has to be by the Ohel Moed's entranceway. So the Rabbanim, the Chachamim's opinion is Savrei Kedushas Heichal L'Chud, U'Kedushas Ulam L'Chud. These are two separate structures. The antechamber doesn't have the same Kedusha as the Heichal itself. And therefore, if you have to do this Pesach Ohel Moed, it has to be in front of the real Ohel Moed, which is the smaller entranceway, the 20 by 10 dimension entranceway. And therefore, the Chichasiv, Pesach Ohel Moed, when you have to shecht in front of the Ohel Moed, a Heichal Chasiv, it's talking about in front of this gate, in front of this 20 tall, 10 wide, both Amos, 20 Amos tall, 10 Amos wide, structure. That's the Chachamim's opinion. And therefore, if it's more than 20 Amos, we learn out to the Mavui, that's not called an entranceway. And therefore, you don't have the beam that the rabbis required for this entranceway within the entranceway. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda savar heichav ulam kedusha achasi. He says it's the Beis HaMikdash. This is the building itself. And there's no difference between the antechamber and the heichal. The ulam and the heichal are one kedusha. And therefore, when we say Pesach HaOmoed, when we say V'chikasev Pesach HaOmoed, Atar Vayehudasev, it goes on both of them. So as long as you're doing it in front of the larger entranceway, that's fine. And the smaller entranceway is subsumed within the larger entranceway. So both of them learn it out from this words, Pesach HaOmoed, and therefore that's where they get the machlokas. The Chacham say it has to be no higher than 20, and the opinion of Yehuda can be much higher, it can even go up to 40. Now, that's one way to understand this machlokas. V'bayisema, another way to understand the machlokas is as follows. Even Yehuda says, come on, they're two separate structures. The ulam is not the heichal, and they're separate structures with separate kedusha. And therefore, why am I saying Pesach HaMoed for the ulam? Maybe it should really only be the heichal. So he says, no. Here is the reason why Yehuda says, no, you can have a larger structure. Because the siv, he brings down a pasuk. Now notice, there's no Torah or here telling us where this pasuk is from, which we'll explain in a moment from Tosos, why not. So this pasuk quote is the chsiv, El Pesach Ulam Habayis. It says that you have to go in Shecht in front of the Pesach Ulam Habayis. And that is a reference to the Ulam, even though that's a separate Kedusha than the Pesach or Moed, but that's also called the Pesach. Now Tosos brings down, in the third Tosef of the Chsiv, Al Pesach Ulam Abayis, he says, Zeha Pasuk Eino B'Shum Makom. Tosef guarantees us there is no such Pasuk in Tanakh. No, the Gemara quoted such a Pasuk. So how do you explain that? So Tosef explains, the Reed tells us, the Matzinu, we find in Yecheskel in two different places, in Perek Mem and Perek Mem Zayin, parts of this. In Perek Mem it says, Ulam Abayis. And in Perek Mem Zayin, B'Kroachrina, it says, Pesach Abayis. So it's as if they have a ki'ilu nichtav behedja bechad kra. This wording of El Pesach Ulam Abayis is a combination of Perek Mem and Perek Mem Zayin. And this is a style that the Gemara uses in some places, and therefore it's perfectly fine. Therefore, that's where Rav Yehuda gets his shita from, even though he agrees that the Ulam has a separate kedusha than the Heichal. No, what do the Rabbanim do with this? So they say, no, if it had actually said that, fine. He have a cause of El Pesach Ulam, so then I would say, okay, the Ulam is also good. But it doesn't say that. Then it would be, if it did say that, Kiddikamis would be like you said. But it doesn't say that. Hash Nusiv El Pesach Ulam Habayis, it only says over here, El Pesach Ulam Habayis, so Habayis HaPasuach LiUlam. It means that it's not talking about the Ulam itself, but it means the Pesach that comes from the Ulam into the Bayis. The Bayis is the Heichal. And therefore, it actually refers, according to the Chachamim, this combination pasuk from Perek Mem and Perek Mem Zayin is also a reference to the Heichal and not a reference to the Ulam. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. So these are the two different ways to understand the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara says, wait a second. V'ho ki kisiv hai b'mishkan kisiv. Wait a second. These are all written in regards to the Mishkan. When it says El Pesach HaMoed, it's talking about the Mishkan. So how can we make drashas to the Heichal and the Ulam, which are the Beis HaMikdash? So Mori says, no, those terms are actually interchangeable. Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash are actually interchangeable. Ashkan, Mishkan, Dikri Mikdash. Sometimes we find the Mishkan is referred to as the Mikdash, or Mikdash, and sometimes the Beis HaMikdash is Dikri Mishkan, can be called the Mishkan. And I'll prove to you this is right, Timur says. If you don't want to agree with that, so Hodam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, when Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel tell us elsewhere that Shlomim Sheshechotin Kodim Psichas Dalsos Eichel Psulin, in regards to a person shechting in the morning, we have to shecht the Korban Tomid. You're not allowed to shecht the Korban Tomid until the gates are opened up. If the gates aren't opened up, so then if you shechted the Korban, it's too early and it's possible. The Korban is no good. So if you shecht the Korban Shlomim Sheshechotin Kodim Psichas Dalsos Eichel, if you shecht them before the gates to the Heichal are opened up, so then it's no good. Psulim. How do we know this? Because the pasuk says, Shenema, Ushchato Pesach HaMoed. It has to be by the opening to the HaMoed. So the gates have to be open. Bizman Shepsuchim, as long as they're open, they're allowed to be shechting. Below Bizman Shenulim, but not when they're closed. Now, Vaha, Kiksiv hahi, b'mishkan siv. But this is actually written in regards to the Mishkan, Ushchato Pesach HaMoed. So what does it have to do with saying that the gates have to be opened up in the Beis HaMikdash? B'mishkan siv. Ella, what would we say? Ashla Mishdosh, Dikri Mishkan, or Mishkan, Dikri Mikdosh. The terms are interchangeable. The Mishkan is sometimes used for the Mikdosh, and the Mikdosh is sometimes used for the Mishkan. Now, the Gemara says, Bishlama Mikdosh, Dikri Mishkan. I'll show you where the Mikdosh is called Mishkan. That's simple. The Pasuk says, V'nosati, the word S is not in the Pasuk, V'nosati Mishkani B'sochachem, Pasuk in Vayikra. It says, I will put my Mishkan in your place. Now, Rashi points out, this is already Kshinemar Mikrazeh, the bottom Rashi, two lines to the bottom, says when this pasuk is actually stated, Kfar Hukama Mishkan, the Mishkan's already up. Shari B'Torah's Kohanim Nichtov, this is in Vayikra, V'chol Oso HaSefer Be'ol Moedemar, this is all already when the Olam Moed is set up. So therefore, when it says, I will set up, I will put my Mishkan in your midst, so that's obviously referring to the Beis HaMikdosh. So we see it's called Mishkan, yet it's referring to the Beis HaMikdosh. Oh, here we have Mikdosh Dikri Mishkan. The Gemara says, Ela Mishkan Dikri Mikdosh, the Mishkan called the Mikdosh. Where do we find that? So the Gemara says, if you want to tell me, Ilemo Midirsev, if you want to tell me from the Pasuk by Midbar, where it says, now we have the spelling over here, Vinosu, with a sin, it really is spelled with a Samach. Not a big deal. Vinosu HaKehosim Nosei HaMikdosh, it says here, now they were talking clearly about the Mishkan, because talking about carrying it in the Midbar, which of course is the Mishkan. And it says, no say hamikdosh, they were carrying the Mikdosh. So you see clearly, maybe that's the source for calling the Mishkan the Mikdosh. But that's not true. We turn to the Amud Beis. Gemara says, that's not a proof, because how will be Aron Ksiv? That could be talking about the Aron Kodesh. And therefore, when the Kohanim are carrying the Aron Kodesh, so that's not talking about the Beis HaMikdosh. It's holier. That's why it's called Mikdosh, but not because it's the Beis HaMikdosh. So that's not the source. So what is the source? Where it says, El Mehocha, the following is really the source. The Osuli Mikdosh, the Shechanti V'socha. You shall make for me a Mikdosh, and I will stay inside of it. I will dwell inside of it. The Osuli Mikdosh, and it refers there to the Mishkan, and yet it says that it's talking about the Mikdosh, so we see that the Mishkan is also referred to as the Mikdosh. So that resolves that problem. Now the Gemara says, Bein l'Rabbanan or Bein l'Rabbi Yehuda, whether you're talking about the Rabbanan opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now this is very problematic, because Rabbi Kiva Eger brings that over here in the Gurion Hashas. He says, why in the world do you say that this is according to Rabbi Yehuda, as we'll see in a moment, because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that we learn it out from the Shar of the Chotzer. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva Eger leaves this with a Tzarechia, and he says, why are we saying over here this is true, Bein l'Rabbanan, Bein l'Rabbi Yehuda? The question will only be, Bein l'Rabbanan. It's not really Bein l'Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Kiva Eger leaves a Tzarechia. There are Rishonim and other Achronim that give a teretz. However, the bottom line is, Rabbi Kiva Eger's question is a very good question. The Gemara is eventually going to say, you're right, it's not really according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold from this. In any event, what's the question? Bein l'Rabbanan and Bein l'Rabbi Yehuda, this question that we're about to ask certainly goes according to Rabbanan. The Gemara is implying right now, it even goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, Lelfu mipesach shara chotzer. Why don't we say, specifically, if this is correct that we're learning it out from the gates in the Beis HaMikdosh, so let us say that Pesach Shara Chotzer should be the dimensions. Now, the Pesach Shara Chotzer was much bigger than 10 Amos. We're talking here not the building itself, but we're talking about the entire Chotzer. As Gemara tells us, the Pasuk says, Orech HaChotzer, the length of the Chotzer was Mea Amma. So you have the north and the south sides of the Mishkan Chotzer, 100 Amma long. V'rochav, the width is Chamishim Bechamishim. So the northern side and southern side are 100 Amma. And the eastern side and the western side are only 50 amma. And again, you can see diagrams of this in both the Pirush Chai and the Illustrated Gemara. Now, Gemara says the height over here is 5 amma. The rochav is chamishim v'chamishim. The wall height, the koma chamish amos, is only 5 amma tall. So again, think of the structure, the wall around the chotzer of the Mishkan. It's 100 by 50 in the length and width, and it's 5 amma tall. Now, Uksiv, it also says further, the Chameshisri Amo Kiloyim Lakosef. Now, this is looking at the eastern side. As you enter into here, entering from the eastern side, there was an opening. Otherwise, you're sealed in. You can't get in or out. So, on the eastern side of the 50 Amma eastern side, so it says there were 15 Amma of Kiloyim, of curtains, on the side. The Kosef is like the shoulder on one side. Uksiv, the Lakosef Hashenis on the other side, Mizeh, Mizeh, L'Shar HaChotzer, Kiloyim Chameshisri Amma. So Of the 50 Amah, you have 15 curtain on the left, 15 curtain on the right. As you're entering in, coming from east to west, you're entering through a space that's 20 Amos, because the whole thing is 50. You've used up 30 because of 15 curtain and 15 curtain. So the width of the opening is now 20 Amah. And that's what the Gemara says. Mal halachomesh rochav esrim. The rest of the wall, well, has a height of 5. Here, there's no height of 5. I'm not sure why it really says over here, Mal halachomesh rochav esrim. In any event, here we're talking about that the width of the opening is 20 Amah. So avkan chomesh rochav esrim. So therefore, our mavui should allow a width of 20 Amah. But we all agreed in the Mishnah, or that's what it said, Bein Rabban and Bein Reuven. Right now, we don't know the review that disagrees with this. That's the Hava Mina. So everybody should say that it's more than 10 Amos is good. Why did the Tanakhama say, why did the Chachamim say that you have to be Mamayit if it's less than, more than 10 Amos? It has to be 10 Amos or less. Here, it seems that a normal Pesach could be 20 Amos. Shmuel says, that's not a Raya. Pesach Shaare Chatzer Ikre, Pesach Stomel Ikre. That's called the Pesach of the Shaare Chatzer, but it's not called the Stam Pesach, and therefore you can't bring me a Raya from there, that the Pesach of the Shaare Chatzer is going to be the dimensions, but it's not true. That's specifying that it's the Shaare Chatzer, but a Stam Pesach, that could be only 10 Amos. That's Teretz number one. Teretz number two, V'vayisema Kiksiv Kloyim. When it says over here that there are curtains that are 15 Amah to the right and 15 Amah to the left, so then, Chamesh Yisrei Amah LaKosev, what does that mean? Begova Hudusiv. No, that's not the horizontal distance, that's the vertical distance. We have no idea how much the horizontal distance is, and therefore, maybe the horizontal distance is 20 Amah on each side. You're only left with a Pesach of 10 Amah. All right, we said it's 15 Amah. That was the height. The height was 15 Amah, but it doesn't tell us anything about the width. Begovu d'chsiv. Mor says, really? Gova? We said, b'chsiv, b'komu chamesh amos. It said that the height of the wall is 5 amos. How can you tell me the height of the wall here is 15 amos? Mor says, no, it's 5 amos above the mizbeach. How misvas mizbeach l'mala? The mizbeach was 10 amos tall. And this curtain was an additional 5 amos above the top of the mizbeach. That's what it means, 15 amos. So therefore, you have no raya that the Pesach was 20 Amos. In fact, the Pesach could have been 10 Amos. It said that there's a 15 Amah curtain. That was the height of the curtain was 15 Amah. But in fact, the width of the curtain could have been 20 Amos. So you have two 20 Amah curtains in their width. Then there's only 10 Amos left for the Pesach. And therefore, there is no raya from here that there's a 20 Amah Pesach. That's Teretz number two. Now, the Gemara asks another question. Rav Yehuda, mipischo shalom gomar. Did Rav Yehuda really learn it out his shita that it could be 40 amos or a larger amount than 20 amos from the entranceway into the ulam? Is that really his source? Vatnan, but we learned in the Mishnah, the rochav me'eser amos yimayit, our Mishnah said, if it's more than 10 amos, it has to be made smaller. But as I pointed out when we learned the Mishnah, the lo polig Rav Yehuda, we don't find that Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda specifically disagreed on the first part, the height of 20 amos, but then it mentioned 10 amos in width. The Chachamim say you have to be memayit that, and we don't find Rav Yehuda disagrees. That implies that Rav Yehuda agrees. And therefore, how can you tell me that he learns it out from the Ulam? The Ulam was 40 by 20. So he should allow 20, but it seems like he doesn't disagree. Where it says, yes, he does. Amar Bai, as I pointed out, Poli B'Braisa, Rav Yehuda, in fact, argues, and we see this Beferish in the Braisa, where this Braisa says, the Tanya, the Aroch of Miyud Amos Yemayit, the Tanakam and the Chachom say, if it's more than 10 Amos, you have to make it smaller, so you have to put in an additional fence or post or something like that. And the Braisa says, Beferish, Rav Yehuda Omer, Eino Tzorech L'mayit. No, Rav Yehuda says, you do not have to go and be Memayit. So in this situation, we see Beferish that he argues. So therefore, he does learn it out from the Ulam, 40 by 20, because he says 10 is no problem. It can be more than 10. Gemara says, so why doesn't he mention in the Mishnah? Lif Logam Nisan, why doesn't our Mishnah mention it? So Gemara says, no, Palik Begova. He already tells you the height. So of course, if he's learning it out from the Ulam, once you tell me he argues with the height, of course he argues with the weight, with the width as well. Bu Adin L'Rochba, and just didn't feel it was necessary to tell it to us. No, the Braisa did. The Mishnah didn't. That's also often the style. The Mishnahs are much more terse. The Braisas are much more expansive. So therefore, the Braisa expands on what the Mishnah left out. But it doesn't mean to imply in any way that Rav Yehuda, in fact, agrees with the Tanakhama. No, Rav Yehuda argues with the Tanakhama and says there is no problem if it's more than 10 Amos. Mara still continues and says, Vakati Rav Yehuda, Yipischo Shalom Gomar. Are you really going to tell me that Rav Yehuda learns it out from the Pesach of the Ulam? That's his source for that it can be higher than 20 or more wide than 10. Vatanya. But here we have a Brisa that says otherwise, or at least implies otherwise. Mavui shu gavoa michaf amo yemait. The Brisa says exactly like our Mishnah, that if you have a Mavui that's higher than 20 amos and you put the Kor up there, you have to lower it. The Kor can't be above 20 amos. And along comes Rav Yehuda in this Brisa, for Rav Yehuda machshir admen v'nun amo. And Rav Yehuda says it can be even 40 or 50 amo. The Tani Bar Kapara, Bar Kapara adds even further. He says, Ad Meya, hey, 100 Amma tall. Now, Bishlam al Bar Kapara Guzma. So when he says 100 Amma, that's like saying infinity. It can be as tall as you want. In other words, he's saying that there is no shear. This is just not specifically 100. He's just saying a large amount. Bishlam al Bar Kapara Guzma. This is an exaggeration. And in fact, when he's saying 100 Amma, he doesn't literally mean 100 Amma. He just means that it can be more than 20. Maybe it's only 40. So therefore, that's not a problem that he says 100. Because 100 means just a large amount. But, Elul Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said 40 or 50. So, my guzma, that can't be an exaggeration. So, Bishlom Rav Yehuda, when he says, Arboim, so if he said 40, that's not an exaggeration. Gomar Mipisal Shalom. That he's in fact learning out from the Pesach of the Ulam. But, then why did he say 50? Elul Nun, 50, Minole, where does he learn that out from? Where did he get the idea of 50 from? That doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says that implies that he doesn't learn it out from the Ulam. The Gemara says, Amar Chista, therefore, Hamas Nisa Atiisil Rav. This is exactly where Rav made his mistake. Rav is the one that told us this. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, he's the one that said this L'chatchila. This is where Rav went wrong. That in fact, Rav Yehuda doesn't learn it out from the Ulam. Rav Yehuda Rav said he learns it out from the Ulam, and in fact he doesn't. And this is where Rav made his mistake. The Tanya, because the Brisa says, Mavishu gavoa michaf ama yoser mipischo shel heichol. The Brisa said that if the Mavui is more than 20 ama, which is the size of the Pesach of the heichol, then you must lower it. But not because it's learned from the Heichal. Now, this is where Rav made his mistake. Husava, Rav said, Midrabbanim Mipischo Shel Heichal Gamru, from the fact that this is telling us here that it's like the Heichal, the Chacham's Shita must be learned, derived from the Heichal, and therefore, it must be, if the Midrabbanim Mipischo Shel Heichal Gamru, Rav Yehuda Mipischo Shel Olam Gamru. So, they're also going to learn, Rav Yehuda is also going to like the Chachamim from some structure. And Rav thought that the Rabbanan learned it from the Heichal, so therefore he thought, mistakenly, that Rav Yehuda learned it from the Ulam, according to Rav Chista. But that's not correct. Rabbi Yehuda, mipischon de milochin gomar. Why do Rav Yehuda say more than 20 amas is good? Because kings have large palaces, and that's why that's called the Pesach. And therefore, there's no reason to think that a Mavui can't have the Korah above 20 amas. But not from the Ulam, from the kings, from the regular way palaces are. So therefore, in this situation, Rav made a mistake. He thought that since the Chachamim learned it from the Ula, from the Heichal, the Rav Yehuda actually learned it from the Ulam, and that's not correct. Mor says, V'Rabbanan, if this is so, Imi Pischo Shel Heichal Gemiri, if the Rabbanan learned it from the Pesach of the Heichal, so then we got another problem. Libay the Losos Keichal, it should require doors. Just like the Heichal had doors, so then in order for a Mavui to be closed off, it shouldn't work with a Korah or a Lechi. It should require doors. So Alom Atnan, Hechshe Mavui, why then do we learn in a Mishnah, we'll learn later in the Masechta, that in order to make a Mavui kosher, which I already gave you in the introduction, you have to put up either a Lechi or a Korah. So Beishamai Arim Lechi V'Korah. Beishamai is the more Machar opinion, says you need both of them. You don't need only one of them. You need a Lechi and a Korah. The Vav is both. Beis Hillel Arim Lechi O Korah. And it's Beis Hillel, who's like the opinion of our Mishnah, says you can be matur to carry in a Mavui if you have, of course, a Sheet of Mavoyos, plus you have a Lechi or a Korah by the entranceway or exitway from the Mavui into the Rishus HaRabim. So now, if you're telling me that you're learning it out from the Heichal, then a Lechi or Korah shouldn't work. You should have to have a door. So Gemara says, no. The Dalsos Heichal Litznius B'Amuhu D'Avidon. Why do they have doors there? That was like for Tzniyus purposes. It's Pasnish that the doorway should be open entering into God's house. So you put up a door for tznius purposes, for covered purposes, but not because that's essential. And therefore, when you have to correct the mavui, alech yirkor is fine. Where it says, if that's so, elameyata, if what you're saying it's true still, that the Chacham learned it out from the Heichol, so then lo tahani leitzuras ha-pesach, then a tzuras ha-pesach shouldn't work either. But we said in the Mishnah that a tzuras ha-pesach does work even if it's wider than 10 amos. The Heichol, tzuras ha-pesach ha-bilo, the Heichol had a tzuras ha-pesach, it had a built-in door. It had a whole frame for the door. It had a whole door. And nevertheless, afilu hochi esra amosu de-reviach, it only allowed a width of 10 amos, even though it had a tzuras ha-pesach. So why did it only make the dimensions 10 amos? That goes against our Mishnah. Alom etzah, well, we learn in our Mishnah, im yesh tzuras ha-pesach, af b'shiruach of me'esher amos. It could be wider than 10 amos. Ein otzorach l'mayit. So if you're learning that from the Heichol, so the Heichol limited it, even though it had a tzuras ha-pesach, to 10 amos wide. Why not? You should add it more. Could add it 20 amos wide. Ooh, it must be that a tzuras ha-pesach doesn't work. But if that's that, learn that from the Heichol, then our Mishnah is wrong. So what's going on? So the Gemara answers, this whole problem is only because Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. Midi hu taima el Rav. The whole problem only exists according to Rav, because he's the one that says he learned it out from the Heichol. So ha-mas din le Rav Yehuda l'chia ba-Rav kamei de Rav. Well, when this brisa was learned by Rav Yehuda, who taught this Mishnah to Chia, who was the son of Rav, and they taught this in the presence of his father, in front of Rav, he said, Eino tzorach l'mayit. He learned it, that you don't have to be m'mayit. And along comes Rav and says, Omele, yisnaya tzorach l'mayit. Even when it's tzorach l'pesach, you have to go be m'mayit. Oh, Rav l'shitaso. Rav says that the Chachamim learned it out from the Heichol. And just like the Heichol had dimensions of 20 by 10, 20 tall, and that's why the Kor has to be within 20, and it can't be wider than 10, that is true even if a Tzuras HaPesach is present there. So Rav, who was the author of this, he's saying that you learned the Mishnah incorrectly. In fact, when he read it, when Rav Yehuda read it to Rav's son Chia, and he said, Eino Tzorach L'mayit if you have a Tzuras HaPesach. So Rav said, correct him. That's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, Tzorach L'mayit. That's how we get around it. Now, this is a good break point. We're in the middle of the sugya still, but this is a good break point. There's no easy break point coming right up. But Baruch Hashem, we've completed the first daf in Masechtas Erevin, with thanks to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yes, as Hashem, we should be zochet to go through the entire Masechta many, many times over. I hope people are enjoying the daf yomi. Yes, as Hashem, Erevin is a beautiful Masechta. I really strongly suggest using the illustrated Gemara that I mentioned, as well as the Perish Chai, and I will start referring to them specifically by the diagram numbers as it's necessary to do so. Everybody should have a wonderful and safe Gut Woche.